Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. So happy to be back here on a Monday afternoon here in Southern California. Maybe it's Monday evening where you are, or even Tuesday morning. Wherever you are, we're glad you're here with us. Thank you for being here with us. We do appreciate that you take the time to be with us. It's a great privilege to get to have these hours with you. And we got, I don't even know what Darren's doing. This is too good for a Monday. I mean, take it easy on Mondays. We got to ease into it. But you got superstar guests both hours. Christine Flynn will be here with us second hour. We're going to talk about living your best life. You hear it all the time, living your best life. Is that really a good philosophy? Or is there a philosophy that might actually be better for you and for your family and for the future of the world than just living our best life? We'll talk with Christine Flynn about that second hour, as I said. This hour, we'll talk about building a civilization of love with just one of the great ones. You just feel like it's such a privilege to get to talk to him. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is our guest. He's the dynamic deacon. You might have seen him where you are because he's traveling all the time, and I know he's starting to travel again. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's great to be back with you, Cy, and with the Catholic Answers family and all of our listeners and viewers. Thank you for having me.
Well, I guess we caught you just before you went out on the road again, which I'm glad to hear. You're on the road, giving talks again, firing people up, sharing the good news.
Yes. This past weekend, I was in actually Waco, Texas, on the board of the Catholic Men's Leadership Alliance, an amazing organization for men. You know, we're helping to, if men wants to start men group or a conference in their parish or diocese, you know, we're the go-to place to do that. And resources, the best Catholic resources in the world for men at our Heroic Men's website. We had a board meeting, so I was with Father Larry Richards all weekend. So, well, he's a trip, man. I love that guy, dude. He's funny.
He is a trip, and, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. And then, so I'm home today. And then tomorrow I'm off to Napa, California, to speak at a priest institute at the Napa Institute. And then to Orange, Texas, Axe Retreats. They're sponsoring for one night talk at the parish. Then I'm off to Sugar Land, Texas. They're doing a Eucharistic day of celebration and reflection, which is awesome. I can't wait for that. That's exactly what we need right now.
Exactly.
In the church, to combat this, COVID fatigue and anxiety and all this stuff, you know, a Eucharistic Renaissance. And I'll be preaching all the masses on the weekend. Then I'm off to Lincoln, Nebraska to speak to Legatus before coming back for one day again in Portland and heading back out again for another, I think this is a 2-week stretch, the next one. So
wonderful.
Yeah, busy, but I'm grateful. I was home for a year. You know, people say, you're so busy. I'm like, oh, I wasn't busy for a little over a year. So.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that, getting back out there. It's a little bit slower for us here. But, you know, you're a superstar. You're the dynamic deacon. But I'm just so glad because we need to start being together again. The Eucharistic stuff is fantastic. Everyone's hungering for it. So good for you. And congratulations on getting back out there. I want to talk about building a civilization of love. This is a kind of a program that you developed, that you have presented online, and I don't know if you've presented it in person. Is it something you've been able to do in person?
Yeah, so what it is, Cy, is during COVID, you know, well, especially since the number of incidents that have happened around the country, interactions with police officers and people of color, and of course, George Floyd and the others.
Right.
You know, there was so much tension and so much anger and anxiety with regard to how do we deal with race. And so what was missing from the conversation, I felt there was no voice that people can rally around. You know, like in the 50s and 60s, there was Dr. Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
Right. Who cut through political ideology and race and demographics. He had a message that people could rally around and say, yes, you know, we agree. There's no one like that today. So in the midst of a leadership vacuum, there's voices of people and organizations that really have nothing to do with healing racial division, that are trying to make their voices heard, but ostensibly pushing other agendas and using race as kind of like a Trojan horse, you know? And so I thought, you know, I'm not saying I'm trying to be that voice. What I'm saying is, I think the Catholic Church has a lot to say in this area. And of course, my hero is John Paul II. And so I borrowed from title for him, Building a Civilization of Love, as a way that we as a Catholic community come together to close the racial divide and to bring harmony and unity, which is Christ, what Christ prayed for in John chapter 6.
888-318-7884, if you'd like to talk about our racism problems and healing those by building a civilization of love with, as I said, just one of the great ones, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Give us a call, 888-318-7884. Your call is very welcome here, whether you're Catholic or not. 888-318-7884. Deacon, I remember talking with you about this. I think we did an interview. I can't remember now if it was live or on our Focus podcast.
Just Focus.
Yeah. And I realized you gave me a confidence on that day that I had been lacking previously. And it was the confidence to say, we know the cure for racism. And I thought, I would always have been afraid to say that. But you said, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I thought, yeah, if it's the cure to everything else, of course it's the cure to racism.
Yeah, and what's happening, some of the voices that we're hearing, for example, that are trying, and for some reason, Catholics are trying to take these things and adapt them and bring them into a Catholic way of thinking with regard to race, things like critical race theory and Black Lives Matter movement. And so in the book, I wrote a book on this, by the way, for Ignatius Press, which is coming out in the fall of 2022. And I just gave a talk on this topic at a church in Portland, Oregon, actually in Lake Oswego, Oregon. And just to show you how important this was to give a talk at a place at a parish like this. This is my wife's parish. This is where she grew up. And Lake Oswego is kind of like the Beverly Hills of Oregon. You know, and at one time they used to call it Lake No Negro because there's no people of color there.
It was like,
what
did they call that? Redlining, right?
I'm not sure if that was specifically going on there, but it was a community basically that people of color couldn't afford to live in.
Right? I gotcha.
So the pastor, given everything that's been going on in our country, wanted me to come and talk about this. So I basically took an outline of the book and gave a presentation at that parish, and it's received tremendous response. I'm still getting almost a month ago, and I'm still getting emails from people about the talk. So I know that I'm on the right track. Why? Because it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, I'm not reinventing the wheel here.
Right.
We just have to listen, instead of listening to the voices of the culture that, you know, and the hermeneutic or the interpretive key that they're bringing to this conversation is tension and conflict and struggle. You know, we have to bring the gospel of peace, a peace which is beyond all understanding, as the scriptures tell us.
888-318-7884, whether you agree or disagree, we'd love to have your call here. If you just have a question, you are very welcome. 888-318-7884, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, our guest. And Deacon, I want to challenge you with this because just recently, this didn't have to do with the Black Lives Matter stuff and all of that, but it had to do with Our Lady of Guadalupe, and someone showed me this. It's an Instagram or a TikTok. They're all the same to me. I don't know. I can't distinguish them, but it's a video where two Latino men discussing how Our Lady of Guadalupe should be rejected by Mexicans because it's the white man's religion. And I do hear this as soon as you say the gospel is the answer, then, well, that's colonialist, you know, that's just an imposition of the colonialist, or that's a white imposition on black and brown people. How do you respond to that kind of talk?
Well, and we used to hear that in the black community as well. Why do you want to belong to the white man's church, you know, the church that had slaves? And I bring that out in the book.
Yeah.
There were bishops, priests, and religious communities that owned slaves.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. So why do you want to belong to a church like that? You know, and here's the thing. I go back to another one of my heroes, Father Augustus Tolton, Venerable Augustus Tolton, who in the midst of tremendous racism and animosity toward him simply because he was black, and even after he became a priest, other priests were mocking him and ridiculing him,
right?
Because he was black. He focused on this. He focused on the teaching of the church, not the people. Jesus came for everyone. And St. Paul saw this, because remember, there were the circumcisers, as Paul calls them in his letter to the Galatians, who said that, well, Jesus came to the Jews, so you have to be Jewish first, then you can become a Christian. That means you have to go circumcised and follow the law. And Paul said, no, Jesus Christ did away with the law. Baptism is the way that we are brought into Christ, right? So he goes, it's open for everyone, Jews and Gentiles, right? There's no qualifications there. Anyone whose heart is open is someone that Jesus Christ's message can reach. And yeah. So that's what we have to be cognizant of. The message of the gospel is for everyone. Yes. Now, again, why do I say focus on the teachings, not the people? We're all sinners in yes. need of God's mercy. We're going to mess up and mess up big time. And we have to acknowledge that. But you can't say, I'm going to reject Catholicism because of the people. Because if you did that, there's no Christians left.
Yeah, right.
We have to focus on the teaching. We have to align ourselves with the richness and beauty and truth of the Catholic faith, even though those, even in positions of authority, who are supposed to be exemplars of that teaching, fall short. We have to stay focused. That's why we have the saints, right? We have our brothers and sisters who have gone before us, as we say, marked with the sign of faith, whose lives are witnesses and examples of how we can overcome adversity and get to our true home, which is in heaven.
Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers is our guest. You are welcome to call with your questions, 888-318-7884. We're talking about his program, Building a Civilization of Love, a Catholic Response to Racism, that you've been doing now for more than a year, I think. And you're welcome to call with your questions or just to get in on the conversation, 888-318-7884. Deacon Harold mentioned Father Augustus Tolton. If you don't know about Father Tolton, let me recommend a book to you. It's called Father Augustus Tolton, the Slave Who Became the First African American Priest. Do you know who wrote that book? I can't remember. Sorry.
I don't know. Some deacon from Oregon or something.
Yeah. Father Augustus Tolton, the Slave Who Became the First African American Priest. Check it out, and everything else written by our guest, the dynamic deacon, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. We'll be right back.
Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Are you ready to spread your wings? Wings is the weekly newsletter that's packed with exclusive news, program information, features, and updates of all that's going on at the Global Catholic Network. To sign up, go to EWTN.com, click subscribe, enter your name and email address, and you'll start getting your wings every week. Get your wings today. It's the weekly newsletter from EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. I really feel like we're over-delivering for a Monday, so I just enjoy it, I guess. But don't expect this every Monday. Second hour, we're going to talk about, you know, you heard that philosophy, living your best life. I'm living my best life. People all over the internet living their best life, or at least putting pictures up to make it seem like they're living their best life. Is that really the philosophy of a Christian? Or maybe do we have a more excellent way that might really bring true joy and happiness to life? Christine Flynn will join us for that conversation. This hour, the Dynamic Deacon, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, you can check him out. If you put in Dynamic Deacon, if you put in Deacon Harold, if you put in Deacon Burke-Sivers, you just put in these things and you'll find him on the internet. And you should have him out to your parish if you just would like an explosion of the good news. Have him out to your parish. Our number here, if you just want to talk with him, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Building a Civilization of Love is a workshop that Deacon Burke-Sivers created after the death, after the murder of George Floyd, and then all the protests and things that happened. And then what about a Catholic response to racism? And that's what it is. Deacon, there are a bunch of folks on the line. I'm happy to go to the calls, but did you want to give us any more before we go to the phones?
No, let's dive in.
All right, let's dive in. Again, the number 888-318-7884. George in Iowa, listening on Iowa Catholic Radio. You are the first caller of the week. Go ahead, George, with your question for Deacon Harold.
Thank you very much for your time. First, wanted to point out Martin Luther King Jr. spoke a lot about some of the social problems were stemming from unbridled capitalism, and he pointed out the hypocrisy of the American culture that says that businesses get state support, while when it comes to individual workers, they're on their own, and it's about, I'm not sure what he said, brutal individualism for the poor.
Is this a part of his Dr. King's message that you find attractive? You approve of that?
I think Dr. King did said a lot of very accurate things about the problems with unbridled business control of America. But
I just wanted to establish if you were criticizing Dr. King or you were accepting what he said. But I get it, where you're coming from. Okay.
Well, today he would be. There's some kind of a there's this portrayal of Dr. King and the civil rights movement as just a perfect Disney narrative, when in fact it wasn't. The things today of BLM are very similar to the civil rights movement of before, and King was reviled quite a bit and smeared in the newspapers as a violent revolutionary someone who was.
Dr. King was dangerous to a lot of people. He was abused even by the highest levels of law enforcement in the United States. There's no question about that. Did you want to talk to Deacon Burke Sivers about racism?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that it's, Deacon, to emphasize that in the wake of the protests of 2020, from where I'm standing, I'm in a state where the government is a Republican trifecta, and they've only passed laws to strengthen the police, to purge books from schools that might make people think critically about the last 50 years since the civil rights movement. But mostly when it comes to police training, the police have been strengthened. I don't see an encroachment of some kind of, defund the police or leftist ideology. Police are getting more powerful across the country with state houses supporting them unequivocally.
The question about
and,
this is?
They also, yes, can we, do you think that it's important to emphasize that the police have not had to compromise very much in the last year and a half?
Got it. Yeah, so not much has changed then, Deacon.
Yeah, okay. Well, a couple of things. First of all, regarding Dr. King, my emphasis is on his message of peace. I could care less about politics. I'm not a politician. I don't watch television, because people who focus on politics are angry all the time, and I don't want to be around people like that. I'm not saying that of you. I'm just saying in general. In my book, I focus on his Nobel Prize acceptance speech, the letter from a Birmingham jail, and his address at the Lincoln Memorial, things like that. Again, where I'm focusing on the message of peace. The other stuff I could care less about. Now, I served this 23 years in law enforcement, and I served in a variety of leadership positions in a number of organizations, the Western Association of Campus Law Enforcement Administrators, the Association of Threat Assessment Professionals. I used to teach a class called Contemporary Threat Assessment Methodology at the Police Academy. And I had the honor and privilege for 6 years of serving on the board of the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training, which is a governor-appointed position which oversees the training of police officers for the state of Oregon. So I am intimately familiar with how police officers are trained. Now, I can say this. When I saw that George Floyd video, I was sickened, as was many other people in law enforcement, because you don't treat another human being like that. I don't care what if he was on drugs. I don't care what his background was. That doesn't matter. I guarantee you, no police officer is trained to treat anybody like that. And to say that is the way that police officers are trained, and that's a lie, okay? Let me just get that off right now. I'm passionate about this because I actually used to train police officers. I guarantee you, no police officer is trained to kneel on someone's neck for 9 minutes. That's ridiculous. Here's the thing. The thing that's missing is that when they do screening of police officers, bias is not an element that screen. So, for example, they do psychological tests and all those kinds of things, but what is not enough emphasis on is bias. So someone may come in with a preconceived idea of what people of color are. Here's what black people are like. They're always dangerous, or Hispanic people are always this. And so they learn techniques that at the academies, and they go out into the field, and they still have that bias attached to them. So what we have to do, and I know that work is being done right now with the Police Research Institute, where they're trying to identify how to better look at that bias when they're in the academy, and at least have them confront what's going on inside of them with these issues, so they can effectively serve the people that they're called and protect to serve. Now, with this whole defund the police thing, we see the results of that. Crime is gone, is skyrocketing all in major cities all around the country because not enough resources be given to law enforcement. I mean, if someone comes to your house to kill your wife, who are you going to call? Ghostbusters? A social worker? You know, no. We the police need to have the backing. But there, I agree, there also needs to be reform so that these kinds of abuses that we've seen stop happening. I absolutely agree with that. Taking money away from police is not the answer. I think the Police Research Institute is right on target as working to identify bias and then have in either screening someone out or having them come to confront that and deal with it so they can effectively serve the people and protect them and not hurt them.
Thank you, George. Thank you very much for the call. Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers is our guest. Lots of folks on the phone we're talking about. And you can check this out on Deacon Harold's website. Maybe it's something that you would like to have presented at your church or to your group or your school, perhaps. Building a Civilization of Love, a Catholic Response to Racism, workshops with Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. The number here, if you'd like to talk with Deacon Harold, 888-318-7884. But I got to just keep going to the phones because there's a lot of people. Let's go to Jim in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, listening to EWTN on, now that cannot be, it must be 1380 AM. There is no 380 AM. Or did I forget how the radio dial works? I'm going to go with 1380 AM. I'm just guessing. Hey, Jim, are you there with us?
Hi, good afternoon, fellas.
Thank you.
This is something that I saw on Facebook, and it's something that, you know, being a father, I thought of, you know, raising my daughter. I'm a white guy and grew up in the South. I'm 65 years old. It has bothered me that I did not want to date outside my race. And I was curious.
Jim, let me just clarify something. Did you mean you didn't date outside your race, or are you talking about your daughter now? You didn't want her to.
No, I did not date outside my race.
Oh, I got you.
When my daughter was born, my attitude sort of changed a little bit. I was more concerned with her finding a nice guy, a good Christian Catholic gentleman, and I didn't really care one way or the other. Now, it worked out she married a white guy, but we both have tons of friends of all, you know, races and religions, and would that be considered sinful? Is that something that I should have prayed over, that I see, you know, relationships like marriage as something that should be between, the, you know, only within the same race?
Yeah, great question, Jim. Thank you for asking it. So I think the way you dealt with your daughter is the right way of thinking about it. Finding a good person, right, a good man of God for her, a good Catholic man who's going to help take her to heaven. That's the goal. What color he is doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter. The fact that you felt that, and a lot of people at that time had those kinds of, you know, back when the era you were growing up, had those kinds of biases. We usually get married within your race. I mean, my wife is Irish and German, and quite frankly, her mother had concerns about that. So here's what I did. I drove out, at that time, we were living 2 hours away from each other. I drove out there not to see her, to talk to her mother. And I still remember to this day, we went on what we both call now the walk. And we walked around her condominium complex. And I just, because she's from Pittsburgh, back in those days, Pittsburgh was a very racially polarized city. So she grew up the same way. There was no black people in her school. There were no black people at church. So now all of a sudden her daughter's dating a black guy. She's like, "Wait, what's going on here?" And so we had the talk. And it was beautiful, Jim. Why? Because she was like, "Well, here's the way I grew up." But she knew that that was wrong. But we had a discussion about it. You know, she goes, "I have these concerns." But now she loves me. I mean, it's a whole new ballgame now. But back then when we were dating, she had some concerns. And she was honest enough to say, "Here's where this is coming from," and to talk to me about it. You know, that was awesome. Now we're like, you know, like son and mother and son.
Jim, hang on. I want to continue this conversation. I'd love to get your response. And I do want to just very quickly mention the sin of rash judgment, because I think that's the one you were talking about. Right back. More Deacon Harold right after this.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question. And the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com. Here's a question. Is it really possible to be friends with someone who died 2,000 years ago? Maybe the problem is that we've grown way too comfortable with the story of Jesus. Nice man, right? Taught us to love one another, said not to judge people. We celebrate his birthday every year. It's time to put away this small, safe version of Jesus, says Cy Kellett. Nobody that bland could have transformed the world. In A Teacher of Strange Things, Cy presents Jesus Christ undiluted by sentiment, with all his radical words and deeds uncensored. Do you know someone, your son or daughter perhaps, or maybe your mom or dad, who needs the friendship of Jesus Christ? Do you? Order your copy of A Teacher of Strange Things by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Matt Swaim here. Tomorrow on the Sunrise Morning Show, we'll celebrate the Feast of St. Josephine Bakhita and discuss why she's invoked as a patron against human trafficking. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, having really a much better Monday show than usually we bring you. And on the line, or on with us right now, is Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. So you're welcome to get on the line and talk with him. Just one line open right now, 888-318-7884. We're talking to Jim in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Jim, thank you so much for the call. Deacon, you frightened me a little bit with your answer to Jim, because I didn't know we're allowed to talk about racial things between white and black people. I thought we just like pretend like that's not there. You're saying it's okay to talk about it?
No, we can't do that. We gotta have, as difficult as the conversations may be,
yeah.
They're hard things to talk about. We need to talk about them. So, Jim, as far as you feeling, was it sin? Here's the thing. I mean, you drunk the Kool-Aid of the time. Right. I mean, everybody's saying you should stay with your own race and that kind of thing. And you just said, OK, well, if that's the way everybody thinks, that's the way I'm going to think, too. Remember, the message of Jesus Christ is countercultural. Jesus told the truth and they killed him. Right. So we have to be willing to die for the truth. And so I would go to whether it's sin, I'm trying to do in my mind, working through the thing, is what you did sinful? I mean, did you willingly know that? I know that it's wrong for me to believe this, but I'm going to believe it anyway. I think you were just a product of your environment. And now you realize, you know, that, oh, wait a minute, I shouldn't have thought like that. Just go ahead and confess it. And if the priest says it's not a sin, that's fine. I don't think it fits the criteria of mortal sin necessarily, but it may be sinful in the sense that if you knew in your heart that that was wrong and you just did it, practiced it anyway, that could be a problem.
What do you think, Jim?
Oh, whole reason I'm calling you fellas, I have been told vehemently that I am an absolute racist for thinking, for feeling that way. And the word racist is an insult. It's as bad as any insult word that there is. And of course, it hurts when you're insulted. You know, I'm a big guy. I was teased about being fat. It hurts. My conundrum is it's not abnormal to prefer one thing over another. It's not a sin to prefer white wine over red wine, or LSU over Alabama.
No, and that's required, I think, actually. But, preferring.
Yeah, well, absolutely. except Nick Saban is a wonderful Catholic man. But it still seems normal. And this is where I come from. I mean, I would never turn away, give a person that advice anymore. You know, only right. Day within your race. But the Tower of Babel broke everybody who spoke the same, looked the same, acted the same, believed the same. All of a sudden, poof, they can't talk to each other anymore. Now, why, if God in his infinite wisdom decided to break everybody up? Now, maybe that was a challenge for us. You know, here I'm giving you a challenge, folks. But I don't feel, I'm not a racist person. Never have been, never done anything remotely like that. And even as a child, I grew up, you know, not that way. I had a mammy growing up, for goodness sakes. And it's just, my conundrum is this sinful? Because that's, you know, being called a racist, I mean, that's a big deal. Do I need to think about that? Am I a racist for feeling this?
Well,
believing this, even if I don't believe it anymore?
Yeah.
Okay. I think we need to just define what we mean by racism versus prejudice. Okay, that's something I do in the book because we have to make that clear distinction. So if you're prejudiced, that means you have a preconceived notion about someone that's not based on any factual or objective experience. Okay, you could be prejudiced. Now, racism is prejudice with the added piece, the reason why I have this preconceived notion. What I'm saying right now is because I believe my race is superior to your race. So let me give you a clear example, Jim. I was at a parish mission not long ago, and someone found out I went to Notre Dame for my undergraduate degree. And they looked at me and said, oh, you went to Notre Dame. What position did you play? Now, I never played football in my life. I had an academic scholarship to Notre Dame. But I could see in that person's mind, it said, big black guy plus Notre Dame. Yeah. Equals football. You see? So that statement wasn't racist. It was prejudice. Why? Because he didn't say it with the intention of meaning when he said it. The reason why I'm saying this is because there's no way a black guy could ever get to Notre Dame. They're not smart enough. The only way they can get in there is by playing football. That's not what he meant. If he would have meant that, that's racist. But he was prejudiced. What he said was stupid. What he said was it was biased. But it wasn't racist, because when he found out that I never played football, that I got in there because of grades and other things, he goes, oh, he was embarrassed, you see? So that was prejudice, not racist. So I think you use that criteria to judge within yourself, Jim. Just people calling everything racist right now, and they shouldn't. We have to make distinctions so that we can begin the process of identifying what's going on within myself, confronting it honestly, and then, you know, using the love of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to bring healing.
Jim, thank you very much for the call. I did want to say a word about the sin of rash judgment. And Deacon, you can correct me if I get this wrong. But in any circumstance where we judge another person negatively, without having evidence that there's something negative about this person, or without having adequate evidence, you know, if you see someone, you know, with you know, throwing grenades into a grocery store, well, you can make a reasoned judgment. This is a bad person. But if you make a rash judgment that, you know, because someone is Asian, they are this way, or because someone is Baptist, they are this way, or because someone is a man or woman, they are that way, and the judgment is negative, then that is actually the sin of rash judgment. So that's usually what real racism falls under. Like, black people are this, you know, and that's, and not because I've met this person and I've decided this person is this or that, but because I just have this, based on no evidence, concluded this. That is, in fact, sinful. And we do, no matter who you're doing that to, for any reason, a rash judgment is because people have a right to their good reputation. It's not a sin against charity. It's a sin against justice to judge someone rashly. Do you think I got that basically right, Deacon?
Yeah, that sounds about right, yeah.
Jim, I'm going to let you go just because we got more, but thank you. It's very gracious of you to call, and the honesty of the conversation, I think, is what we need more of,
yeah.
And God bless you for it.
Absolutely.
And I didn't know Nick Saban was Catholic. Now I got to reevaluate my whole anti-Alabama thing.
I just learned that myself. Someone was telling me that he's actually a devout Catholic. So
that's the best kind. That's my favorite kind of Catholic. All right, let's go to, April in South Carolina, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Glad to have you, April. Please go ahead with your question for Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers.
Okay, thank you, Deacon, for being God's answer to a prayer, because I've been looking for this answer for a long time, and I can't think of anybody better to ask this question of. I am, consider myself a devout Catholic. I am a convert, and I was approached by a woman that I do a lot of volunteering with, or did a lot of volunteering with through the pandemic, and we were doing a COVID clinic, COVID vaccine clinic. And long story short, in order to just kind of set the record straight, I guess you might say, with everything that was happening around us, and because there were several black people that we were working with and white people we were working with, and both of us were Catholic, I was just like, hey, I know we don't go to the same parish, but, you know, I really think it'd be nice if we just sat down and had a conversation about, you know, what's going on and are we being a part of the solution? So long story short, the idea of reading the book White Fragility came out of her mouth, and she's just like, here, read this book and then we'll have a conversation. And I looked at her and I said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to read that book. I don't know that author. That has nothing to do with the Catholic Church. And in all honesty, you know, what's around us is so much richer, and it's what's happening in our real time, in real time in our community. And that's what I want to have a conversation about. I'd like you to speak into what is the playing field to which a start within your own community when you're, you know, checking to make sure that you're looking at things correctly and you're working towards the common good. What's the starting point?
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, if someone's sticking a book in front of you and say, read this, so then we can have a conversation. No, you need to have the conversation first. And a lot of things that people are asking us to read, again, they're trying to bring it to a Catholic contest. They don't belong there. Critical race theory, for example, does not belong in a Catholic context. In my book, I write a chapter on critical race theory, but it took me a month to write one chapter of a book, an entire month. To wrap my head around exactly what critical race theory is. It's actually a very complicated theory that goes all the way back into, you know, critical legal theory and critical theory and dialectical materialism of Marx and Freud, and then to the Hegelian dialect. It's very complicated. But sit down and have, like, for example, I think the Catholic Church can be the leader in this effort. Why? Because by our very nature, we're called by Christ to love God and love our neighbors as ourselves. And so I think by just having a parish potlucks, for example, I love that idea. Coming together, people bringing food from the different races and people in the parish come together, share different foods from different traditions, and have the people stand up, the people of color stand up and just share briefly about their experience, what it's like to be a black person or Hispanic person or an Asian person or a Native American person in the Catholic Church or in this parish right now. Here's what it's like. So people begin to hear and understand and empathize with the experiences of other people. And then you'll find you have some commonalities. We're struggling with our children to keep them in the faith in our country. That was so important. You're saying to yourself, I'm trying to do the same thing with my kid. You know, maybe we could talk about how we can work together. Maybe our kids can be friends, you know. I mean, things like that. Having the conversations to start from. Now, why with food? How many times in the gospel see Jesus going to somebody's house eating? Right? He's always eating all the time. He's eating with sinners. He's eating with tax collectors. He's eating all the time because that environment fosters honest communication and brings people together in an environment where there's a shared meal. And it's within the context of that shared meal, we share our experiences. We share our lives. We become vulnerable, just like Jesus was vulnerable on the cross. That is the way forward.
April, God bless you. Thank you for the question. I have to take a quick break. Deacon, this is why I love you as a guest. Have a show where you use the phrase, who are you going to call Ghostbusters? And then on a later call, you're talking about a Hegelian dialectic, which I'm going to look up at the break. That makes for a good show. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Who are you going to call?
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
One of the reasons we should go to Mass is because, if you look in the Catechism, you will see the fruits of Holy Communion. And these are remarkable things that we can receive at every Mass that we attend. We encounter the risen Lord, and He shares something of His divine life and love with us.
The Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, live from the EWTN Chapel, every morning, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Radio and Television.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Killett, your host. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is our guest this hour, the Dynamic Deacon. Check him out at, just put in the words Dynamic Deacon and your computer will take you there, or put in the words Deacon Harold, and you should have him come out and talk wherever you are. It's your university or your high school or your, what else, Altar Society or Men's Club, Knights of Columbus, whatever. You should have him come out. We're talking about his program that he developed, and it's called Building a Civilization of Love, a Catholic Response to Racism. And I remember when we talked about this about a year ago, racism feels intractable in the United States. It's funny because I was reading about Frederick Douglass, and, you know, in the middle of the 19th century, he leaves America and goes to Ireland, where nobody even thinks about race. Like, they don't, he's a black man, he can go to any hotel, he can eat in any restaurant. And then it made him realize, and then when you read the story, it makes you realize America's not like everywhere else. We have a different history. And so you can kind of, as an American, feel like it's intractable. There's no cure for this. And then you just boldly come out and say in an interview we did last year, yeah, we actually know the cure of it. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I was like, Why would I be timid about that? Why? Because that is the cure. So I hope people will take the course. I appreciate your work. I'm going to go to Patricia now in Pennsylvania, watching on YouTube. Patricia, I'm glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Yes, I'm glad I'm here too. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, very well. Are you near Pittsburgh?
No.
Because he was talking about Pittsburgh before. I thought you might be mad, but that's okay. All right, go ahead.
I might be a little angry, but not because of him.
Okay.
I'm going to try to formulate this and speak it without too much emotion. So My daughter's been estranged from me for 8 months. I thought for several months with just me. However, she's withdrawn along with her husband and her two kids from many that have been close to her. I recently have come back to the Catholic Church within the last couple, 5 years actually. So here is my question. She is convinced, I believe, that I am a racist because my politics are different. And I believe, just as listening to you sigh about, gee, are we really so racist, this country? I believe that the thrust of the enemy, define that as you like, has been to separate us, to divide us. So, no, I don't believe we're at core racist or by numbers racist. However, I do believe we need to come together and talk now. This is my question. What do I do? Do I just back off and pray? And I believe in the power of prayer. Or do I try to respect her lack of communication with me? But now I find I'm not the only one. It's her best friend from, forever, and her mother-in-law who has been a missionary all her life. What is the course that I take now? I don't know. So, okay.
All right, Patricia, I'm going to let Deacon answer, then I'm going to suggest a book to you, if I may, Deacon, when you're done with your answer.
No, but
Deacon,
please, Si. No, thank you. Yeah, so, Patricia, I definitely feel your pain. That's a very difficult situation. And the problem is, it sounds like, that your daughter is tying politics into this thing. And I said from the beginning, I deliberately stay away from politics. That has nothing to do with the discussion of race. You know, racism is a result of the fall of original sin. All sin is a result of the fall. And so we are not by nature racist. You know, although there are some schools of thought that are trying to make their way into the Catholic faith that says we are innately or inherently racist, and that white people should feel guilty for being white because you're racist simply because you're white. That is ridiculous. But it sounds like your daughter is just drinking the Kool-Aid of the culture that's lying to her. And actually, you're right, bringing division instead of bringing people together. What I'm suggesting are simple ways that we Catholics in the pew, in the parishes, can bring people together in love. Again, rooted in the love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, I would have a discussion with your daughter that doesn't involve politics. Forget politics. It comes down to, do you see the image and likeness of God in the person standing in front of you, regardless of their race? Can you see the image of, page one of the Bible, Genesis 1:27? Can we see the image and likeness of God in the person standing in front of us? That's the key. If you can do that, you're not racist. I mean, when I look at Psy, I love Psy. Okay, I don't say white Psy. I don't see white. I see Psy Kellett. Honestly, I don't even think about that anymore. Why? Because I have this, as the old Negro spiritual said, I've decided to make Jesus my choice, not political ideology, not sociology. Jesus Christ. Focus on him. So have that conversation with your daughter, devoid of any political talk, any political idealization, or any political speech. Just talk about what it means to be a human being made in the image and likeness of God. And can I see that in any person, regardless of race? That's where you have the starting point with your daughter.
Patricia, what do you think?
I would have to cross her boundaries to do that. And what I have found out by listening to people who care about her is this has become a spiritual crisis for her.
Oh.
It's gone from politics, you see. And I believe this is the goal of those who separate us and want us divided so that we turn away from our faith. So her mother-in-law, who loves her so much, in my last conversation with her, said to me, they will pay a greater penalty because they have known the Lord. And she's not Catholic. I'm Catholic, but I just don't know whether to. I can be very forthcoming. And I wonder if maybe it's not something about me, my personality, whatever, but her brother is now separated from her too. So,
yeah, she's going through something. I just want to mention, Patricia, the book that I was going to mention, and I'll let Deacon Harold finish up. But I think the sense of separation between parents and children today is actually quite intentional. It's intentionally promoted by universities. It's intentionally promoted by media, other media, and by news media. And I have come to that conclusion that they want young people to criticize everybody who came before them as a racist and be cut off from their history and their family. I do believe that it's intentional. And one of the books one of those books that has helped me come to that realization is Awake Not Woke by Noel Mehring. So we don't publish that book, so I don't have it to send to you, but I would suggest it because it's a very good read about waking up to the fact that this has been a project since John Dewey, and even before John Dewey, here in the education establishment and in media, to separate children from their parents. And I'm sure that this whole agenda played a big part in the, you remember the youth movement of the 60s that ruined so many lives and cut so many young people off from their parents. The idea of getting people separated from family and history is the way that you create the kind of people that they want, which are people who have despaired of God, frankly. So I think it's quite intentional. And I just wanted to say that to you. You're not the only one going through it. Millions of other parents are going through it. And they're going through it because other people are doing it on purpose. And so I will just say the name of the book again, Awake Not Woke. Noel Mehring is the author. Deacon, did you want to say anything to Patricia before we go on to our next call?
No, I think that's wonderful, Si. And Patricia, again, I know this is difficult, but I would spend time before the Lord in the adoration. Absolutely. You know, and quiet yourself and say, you know, what is it that's preventing me from having this conversation? Is there anything that I'm doing that's preventing the conversation? And come to a point where you can say to your daughter, honey, I love you. And if there's anything that I've done that's caused you to feel this way, I ask your forgiveness. You hear what I'm saying now? that you're asking her to forgive her about how you felt toward her, right? I did the same thing with my father. You know, I was estranged from my father for 18 years. And I got to a point where I asked him to forgive me, not because of what he did, but for hating him, how I felt toward him. If there was anything that I did that caused a separation, I asked for his forgiveness. It was an incredibly powerful, divine mercy healing moment. And I'm going to pray that you get to that same point with your daughter.
Patricia, thanks very, very much. Our guest is Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. Do you think I got that? I'm going to try it. Mike in Clarksville, Idaho, listening on iHeartRadio. You're going to have to be kind of quick, Mike, if you'd like an answer from Deacon Harold.
Yes, sir. First of all, I'm in Indiana.
Indiana.
I have a statement, if that's okay. Then I have my question.
You got to go quick, though. I only have about 45 seconds left with Deacon Harold.
Okay. My statement is that I think none of this ever started until the Democrats started it in Black Lives Matter.
Well, I know Deacon has a response to that, so let's start there. What do you say about that?
Well, racism goes all the way back to the Bible. In the beginning of my book, I even talk about in Numbers chapter 12, the incident with Miriam and Aaron and Moses, where they spoke out against Moses because he married a black woman. Not only because she was black, but because she was not an Israelite. You know, so that, and when God's response to that was to turn Miriam leprous, right? So God's response to racism is powerful. Again, it goes all the way back to the Bible. It didn't start with any kind of political organization.
Sorry, Mike, that's where we'll have to leave it. Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers is our guest. Look him up on the internet, the Dynamic Deacon. Deacon, may we have your blessing before we go.
May Almighty God bless you and keep you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Deacon. I say this every time, but why are we not having you on more? What is wrong with us? We're terrible at this. We got to get you on more. Thanks, Deacon. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Si, and everybody there.
And safe travels with all your back on the road, sharing the good news with people. are better than average, far better than average, really ridiculously above average Monday show continues. Christine Flynn will be with us next. We're going to talk about living your best life. Is that what Jesus wants, that philosophy of living your best life, or maybe learning to love others as you love yourself? We'll see right after this.